we gather to seek, to find, and to share the promise of honest religion. So it is a sacred time, this, a sacred place, this.
A place for questions more profound than answers.
Vulnerability more powerful than strength.
And peace that
can pass all understanding. It is a sacred time, this. Let us begin it together in song.
At this time, please feel free to come and light a candle for remembrance or feelings.
Please join me in an attitude of prayer. Earth Mother, Star Mother, you who are called by a thousand names, may all remember we are cells in your body and dance together. We are the grain and the loaf that sustain us each day. And as you are patient with our struggles to learn, so shall we be patient with ourselves and with each other. We are radiant light and sacred dark, the balance. You are the embrace that heartens and the freedom beyond fear. Within you we are born, we grow, live, and die. You bring us around the circle to rebirth. Within us you dance forever.
Good morning. My name is Natalie Houchins, and I'm a junior at McCallum Fine Arts Academy, and I have been a Unitarian all my life, and have also been going to church all my life. This church all my life. I was walking home from school a few weeks ago, the Friday, in fact, before receiving my driver's license. I hadn't walked home in a while. I had been too busy and had to stay at school late. And when you ride the bus alone, you should probably do so in daylight. Anyway, I had this routine. When I didn't have to stay at school after dark, I would ride the bus to a certain point and then walk home from there. Of course, I never appreciated it. I hated the bus. The bus does not smell good, and there are many, many strange people who ride it, and unless you wear headphones, will try to talk to you whether you look underage or not. I did like walking home from the bus stop, though. Just as the light is getting lower in the sky, it turns the grass this beautiful golden green color. I realized on the bus that Friday afternoon, listening to my music, that this might be one of the last times I do this, this ritual of riding the bus. I was going to get my license that Tuesday and would not need the bus. I would be able to get myself home with no help from anyone else, except my parents, who would be hopefully supplying the gas money. I started thinking about me driving. I know it really doesn't seem like that big a deal, but it's difficult when you've seen yourself as a child your whole life to see yourself getting around on your own. It didn't seem real to me. I thought about my friends who could drive. There were a couple I could think of who had become somewhat aloof since they received their licenses. I didn't want that to happen to me. I wanted to stay grounded. I could think of a few that had gotten into accidents, and I knew of young people my age who had even been killed while doing the very thing I was going to be able to do that Tuesday. Of course, I didn't want those things to happen to me either. In fact, although I was excited, I was also petrified. I wasn't ready to do this. I'm Natalie. I'm 5 years old. I still can't tie my shoes. I still have to have my dad read to me while I'm going to sleep. I'm still afraid of the dark. My hair is stringy. My clothes are constantly dirty, and my knees are knobbly and bruised. I can't make decisions for myself, much less drive a car. I thought, this is the end. I'm gone. I'm an adult. I got into the car and was overcome with an unbridled joy of independence, paired with terror. But instead of bolting, the joyful part of me won. I turned the key in the ignition and drove myself to school. Today, I'm still alive, and I'm enjoying driving myself and my friends around, one by one, until my restrictions come off October 4th. I think what's difficult about leaving the nest is that everyone thinks it's so hard for the parents. Of course it is. It will be difficult when I see my kids getting their licenses and going off to college. But I think what people may not understand is that it's just as hard for those doing the flying. In order to keep those around us calm, we have to say that we're ready. We have to grit our teeth and accept our independence, even though we are being split in two. Part of me was gripped with fear that day, but I've been thinking about it and have come to a conclusion about leaving the proverbial nest. Leaving the nest does not mean getting into a car, going to college, or moving out even. You leave the nest when you are able to accept yourself and those around you, when you no longer need a person to help you understand why people do the things they do. So many of us, most of us, never completely leave the nest. We are all constantly nesting, finding comfort in each other wherever we go, wherever we make our nest.
Hi, I'm Josh Mays, and I'm a senior at McCallum Fine Arts Academy. I've been coming to this church for a year and a half, and I've been a Unitarian since the fifth grade, I'd say. Transitions. Life is full of them. As Merriam-Webster online put it, a transition is simply change. Often as youth, we are told that we have experienced less or know less about change. But personally, I know a lot about change. I have moved a total of 12 times in 17 short years, gone to 5 different middle schools, 3 different high schools, been to 31 of 50 states, and not stayed in one place over a year since the fourth grade. For me, radical change is constant. Yet, I know many of my peers desperately cling to the life they've known for 18 years. They've had the opportunity to stay in one place for so long, they dread to leave. But change is fundamental. Everyone is constantly fluctuating from thing to thing, and often we try to resist it. We miss out on many wonderful experiences when we do this. When I was a sophomore, I was forced to move for the 10th time in 15 years. I was so upset. I was asking myself, why? Why did I need to leave again and again and again? I decided that I was going to shut myself off. Stop talking. Stop doing. Stop living. For me, it wasn't as if this was the last time I was moving. It was, this is the last time that I have the opportunity to stay in one place. So, I stopped experiencing life. But it's only through life that we are truly experiencing happiness. Often in life, our minds get clouded by the mundane, and we miss all the wonderful things life has to offer. I did this. And in doing that, I closed myself off. But if we open our eyes, life is so beautiful. So I challenge you, in the coming weeks, to change your life. Do something differently. Take a different route to work. Try a different sport. When you come across conflict, try a different way of resolving your conflicts. Some of us think we've experienced our greatest transitions already, save the biggest of all, death. But it's never too late to change. But what about what we were before? What about our old life? When you change something about yourself, the old you is still there. You can always take something from the past to put your life in perspective. In 3 weeks, I will be making the transition from high school to adult life. But I will take and cherish all the memories of high school. Although I'm moving on, the high school experience has shaped who I am. I ask that when you leave the sanctuary, you take these words to heart and change your life.
Hello, I'm Edward Balaguer. I'm a senior at Anderson High School, and I've been a part of this church since the day I was born. And just a small warning before I start my little homily. I'm going to be running the metaphor of leaving the nest. I'm going to be running it into the ground, just so you know. It's kind of funny. Graduation is 3 weeks away, and what school reminds me most of right now is kindergarten. Everyone who's going to college has gone accepted and chosen where they're going to go. Those who are not are just waiting so they can go do whatever it is they are going to do. And school is, just like in kindergarten, some sort of glorified daycare center. But anyways, I'll be graduating soon, and though I will spend the summer here, it will just be a lull before I spread my wings and fly from the nest. The never-ending pause a little bird takes before dropping from the edge of a nest into the great beyond. Though, as I think about it more, I realize that I'm leaving far more than just the nest that is my home. I'm leaving this city for a distant one. I'm leaving old friends here in search for new ones elsewhere. I'm leaving familiar places, my old way of life. But most importantly, I'm leaving the nest in which my spirit resides. This church, which for over the 18 years I've been on this fair world, has grown to be my spiritual home, home for my soul, whatever that may be. I'm leaving this church, and I'm leaving you, at least for now. This brings me to the point of my humble speech. As I jotted notes down in my little notebook, searching for the right thing to say, it came to me that what I need to say is thank you. Thank you to all the people here around me who have helped me become who I am today. Thank you to those who have given their souls to this church. Thank you to my Sunday school teachers who taught me so well that I know more about the Bible than most of my Christian friends. Enough about Islam that I can have a philosophical discussion with a Muslim friend of mine, and so much about other religions and religions in general that I can always look at things from a different angle. I'm in a debt of gratitude to those who simply show up and speak their minds, for it is a rare week in which I have not gained new insight into my own beliefs. This is what is great about this church. Beliefs do not stagnate. The moment in which one becomes assured that they have found the answers to life's persistent questions, that is the moment when a person moves from growth into death. It does not matter what faith you are, of you, Buddhist, Christian, Muslim, Jew, humanist, deist. When you stop the search, you begin to die. Many of the greatest figures in history knew this. Everyone remembers Isaac Newton as the person who first realized how gravity worked. Few know about his pioneering work on light and optics. For all this, we remember Isaac Newton as a scientist. Yet the truth is, he wrote more books about philosophy and religion than he did science. We think we have some idea about his musings of the natural world. Very few know his ideas on religion. I wish I did. Thomas Jefferson is another person who kept an open mind. He saw the beauty of the Bible and separated it from the fantasy of burning bushes, water to wine, splitting the sea, and other such miracles. In doing so, he literally took scissors to the Bible, cutting and pasting the things he liked into a new book, The Life and Morals of Jesus of Nazareth, more commonly known as the Jefferson Bible. Mother Teresa, a person whose name has become synonymous with good deeds, a beacon of hope, a devout Catholic, had doubts about the existence of God. If she doubted something that was at the very roots of who she was, how can we not do so? This church has put me on a never-ending search for answers that I know I will never find, teaching me to truly enjoy the travel from here to wherever I am going. Be it a great scientist, misguided optimist, starving artist, wanderer of the world, or maybe just some average, if slightly left-leaning, Joe. It's a journey I plan on enjoying, and so one last time, I say thank you to those who have come before me, and may this church what it is. For those who were here with me and taught me and guided me. For those who will be here after I am gone, who will take care of this church until the day I come back and get the chance to return in kind all that has been given to me. For as the Beatles once said, in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make.